go. We are back. Rick Nicholas, Alan Bobbo, Robert Rood. And not only are we back, we're going to fire the YouTube page back up here once we get everything set. We're back in the regular podcast studio. This field, Fox put in a studio and then they took all the equipment out. I think they said they're sending it to some Fox Major League Baseball guy. They're doing other stuff. But like, we're back in the studio. Do you feel as good as I feel right now?
I feel like I'm back home. I mean, when we were out in the hallway, it just didn't feel right.
It really didn't feel right at all. It didn't feel right at all. And not only the other reason we're feeling excited is we got some Husker football to discuss here, which is great. I guess, okay, so this is going to be kind of like a spring. I wrote down like 11 or 12 spring football thoughts, questions, / things to watch. Because we're taping this, it's Thursday, spring game's on Saturday. On a scale of 1 to 10, excitement level for the spring game, 1 being like you're going to the DMV to renew your license plates, 10 being you're having your first sip of a beer on a Friday in college.
Ooh, that's a good day.
Where you at?
Okay, it's not college. I'm not tasting a cold Coors Light down Main Street, but I would say I'm probably about a 6 today, right? I don't know that I'm super excited maybe as I was Scott Frost's first spring.
Right.
But the part that is, intriguing is this is a very, very different team, especially offensively.
Yes.
It is a different team.
That's why I feel like I'm more like a seven-ish just because these are all, it feels like a brand new squad. You got brand new coaches. Now we'll get into the fact that we probably won't get a great window into some of the new coaches' impact in a setting like this, but I'm fired up. I was surprised. You see the ticket sales were a little lower. Like I think there was 46,000-ish ticket sales have been sold. Now last year the spring game was only 20,000 or something like that, but that was COVID. But years before that, it was like 80,000. Are we like, what do you, I mean, something, I, nothing?
So this is probably why when I say a 6, I think they're, one, we've come off a couple rough seasons, but two, it's like, I think that there is excitement in the new players, but it's also like, I think we're kind of banged up where it's like, half of our starters are going to be either not playing or they're going to be so limited. I think people know, like, it's probably not going to be quite as, like, straight up, we're scrimmaging, we're going to see what we got. I think you're going to just see, like, this is just, like, a quick walkthrough for the fans. It's going to be a beautiful day, which helps. It's not going to be one of those rainy spring games, which seems to happen every year. But it's going to be they're going to be careful, I guess I should say. Like they can't afford an injury anywhere on this team right now.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I wanted to talk about. Let me say this real quick. I think the nature of the spring game has changed ever since it's been televised.
Yeah.
Too. For me, like I'm like a 6 or a 7 interested in this game, but I'm not going to go to the game. I'm going to watch it on TV. You know what I mean? Like, I guess maybe a good way to test myself, if someone said, hey, it's not going to be on TV, would I go?
I think that changes it big time because, I mean, you still, like, if you need your Nebraska football fix, this is the time.
Right.
I've got tickets. I'm going. It's going to be, I think for me, I usually try to go, but if it's beautiful out like it's going to be, I'm going to be there. I think the difference between a spring game and a regular game is if it's going to be raining, I probably am not going to go. But if it's, a regular season game, I'm probably going to go even if it kind of is still sprinkling.
Right. So I think, but you brought up the injuries. Like, I think one of the big themes of this spring has been, unfortunately, like, it seems like a lot of injuries, and not just a lot of injuries, a lot of injuries to top dudes where I wrote down, so Thomas Fedoni has some sort of, seems like it's a pretty serious injury, which is really concerning because he was going to be arguably, outside of Casey Thompson, like my number one guy I was excited to watch in this spring.
And this is where, Nick, I don't want to jinx anything. I'm not going to jinx anything, but like, I am worried. He was our number one recruit guy. Like, I just got this bad feeling, like, is he going to be one of those guys that just never gets to play? And you go, how?
He was the number one tight end
in the country,
recruit.
Yeah.
And in the country.
Yeah.
He is at, like, Nebraska has the number one tight end recruit in the country. And he's now had back-to-back, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's back-to-back knee injuries. And I think it's the same knee. And he just gets scared if that's what the deal is.
I hope he's not, that's not going to happen with him. Because like I said, I was excited about what he was going to do for our, our offense.
And but so speaking of, then it's a bunch of tight ends. It's Volkolek, take spring off to recharge every single thing in
hibernation,
my body.
Hibernation
time for Volkolek. Don't come out in spring. But Volkolek's out. Chancellor Brewington is too busy redoing his Manhattan Beach.
He's on leave. He's up in Nantucket, sailing around the harbor. And he
the
won't
first
be back.
Weekend of April, I'm always in Nantucket. I so do apologize. I'm changing
the leaves start to bloom up in northern Maine, and I never miss it.
But so Brewington, Volkolek, Fedoni, Hickman's banged up. Gabe Irvin, obviously, is still nursing. Casey Rogers. Luke Reimer's been, I don't think Luke's going to play probably on Saturday, but, and then Chuba Purdy's been banged up throughout the spring too. So it's like, unfortunately, the first thing I wrote down to talk about, and you read my mind, was like a lot of, there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of injuries to top dudes, which I think also adds to like trying to figure out what this game's going to really look like. But man.
And that's why when you say like, are you excited? I'm excited to a point. Like, there's some new guys that I'm sure we're going to talk about here that are going to be playing. It's exciting. But the base of the team is just in a it's in a weird spot just with injuries where you know that it's going to be a tamed down spring game.
Right. So that so the first thing I wrote down was injuries. The second thing I wrote down, we'll get in like I want to let's talk about Xavier Betts for a second. Because arguably Nebraska's most talented wide receiver. Now, I do think Trey Palmer's probably got a bone to pick with that. And we're going to get into Trey Palmer. But Xavier Betts, one of the biggest things to come out of the spring is he's no longer with the team. And it's not a, I don't think it's a thing of Nebraska has, you know, Uncle Phil jazzed him out of Memorial Stadium. But he's not on the team. And I'll defer and urge everybody to go listen to Gary, and, Gary Sharp and Damon Benning talked a lot about this. And Damon is close with Xavier Betts. And Damon's in the know with a lot of things with Nebraska football. But obviously he knows Xavier really well. And I got the sense through Damon that Xavier Betts is one of those guys that he doesn't necessarily identify himself as a football player. I don't know if he loves football. Damon brought up the fact that a lot of his friends aren't football players. And I think one of the problems was the team had spring break in the middle of spring ball, and I think Xavier went home and hung out with all of his non-football people, and I think it was hard for him to then transition back into being like, I mean, listen, it's football, sport, college sports in general, but football more so than maybe any other sport is a hard sport to play if you don't love it and you aren't all in on it, and I unfortunately get the sense that he's doesn't love football and isn't all in on football.
That's hard. It's hard to do it. I mean, it makes me sad because, you know, this is a kid with a he's super talented.
Yes.
You know, there's just in Nebraska, there's only so many kids that come out a decade that have that kind of talent, and it's not many. And, you know, like, I don't know about his life, but all I know is, like, it's an opportunity, and I just can't imagine, like, man, it's like, is there any other way that you're going to get a free college in life? I know I couldn't do it any other way. And
well, and the connections that you are able to leverage through being a former Nebraska football player, like
it makes
a difference.
It does. And I feel bad that if that's something that, you know, I mean, like I say, it's his life and he can do whatever he wants, but man, it's like, it is an opportunity. And
no doubt.
And
I know
it'd be a shame to just, you know, throw that away because your friends aren't into it or something.
Right,
you know?
Or whatever,
like,
or you're not into it. But if you don't love it, you don't love it. And I think we've talked about that too, where it's like, I think one of the misconceptions for a lot of people, a lot of fans, is they think everybody that's on scholarship at the University of Nebraska or at Creighton playing basketball would ever love the sport they're playing, and that's not necessarily always true. And
but usually if you don't love it, you usually don't get good enough to be a guy that can get on the field.
Well, here's the scary thing is think about here's one thing I was thinking about when all this came out and I was you're learning about Xavier's personality a little bit more is think how good he is, and he's not even really, it doesn't even seem like he's that invested.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm shocked that he's not that invested. Because he can play. Like, he's a guy that, like, when he's out there, he's a good player, and he can go make plays. Like,
and then the other thing, I got to prep, I'm going to backpat myself and you at the same time with this. Because, and I got to preface it, obviously, with, I hope everything works out for Xavier Betts. I whatever he is searching for, whatever. Like, you hope the nothing but the best for Xavier Betts. But I'll say this. You and I were pretty consistent throughout the last year or two where a big narrative that would come from Saturdays is how stupid are these coaches that they don't have Xavier Betts on the field every play? I mean, come on. How do you not play your best players? It's so stupid. It's like, well, to me, this is probably a little bit of a window into why.
Yeah. And I don't think...
And we didn't know. I mean...
I also think that... I don't think it's a coincidence that Mickey Joseph's the coach, and then a couple weeks later,
right?
If you don't love football, you're not playing for Mickey. Like if I had to make an assumption, that's my assumption that plays a factor. That Mickey Joseph is a little bit more
right,
straight up. Like, this is how it's going to be, and if you don't like it, like, you can go. And
right.
I wouldn't doubt that that's a part of this.
So I guess I'm just saying that. This is now, there's probably countless other examples that people can throw back at me of it going the other way. But I think something you and I talked about all the time was like the vast majority of the time, I'm going to defer to the coaches on playing time and who's on the field, right? Like,
yeah, like they don't not want to play Xavier.
You don't think they want to play Xavier, but you always brought it up. He must not know all that he needs to know, or he must not be doing what he needs to do Monday through Friday to allow you to feel comfortable to put him out there every down on a Saturday.
That's the only explanation, because everybody that has eyes can see when that dude runs with the ball, nobody in the team looks like he does.
No.
So there, we already know that's different. He's different. He's got that sort of talent, but to not be in the field with a team that like can't do things well at that position or can't score points. Like, there's got to be something kind of extreme going wrong Monday through Friday. Because there's no other explanation.
That's right. And I was always surprised at how people just be like, you know what the explanation is? Scott Frost is a moron. That's what it is. It's like,
I mean, just play that. Like,
I mean, you think
he sees that guy all week? Of course he's going to play that guy.
You think Scott Frost wants to play Cade Warner over Xavier Betts or wants to play fill in the blank other receiver? Like, no.
I'll tell you what, when you're a coach and you're like, I guess we're going with Warner.
Yeah, like, I mean it's
you're
come
just
on.
Not, he just, it just, like, it probably breaks his heart that he has to
yes,
do that.
Yes, but there's that's a part of it.
Yeah,
and,
like,
and
if
so,
you don't know the plays or you don't do what you're supposed to do to get on the field, like, you can't be trusted. So then, like, you can't play him.
Right.
Or you say, I guess we can only run him these routes
that's
because
it. That's
he's not doing the other stuff right and doesn't care to take the time to do it right.
To me, it shows you that they were willing to kind of bend. I think rather than just straight up saying he's not going to play, they were like, well, let's just give him...
Give him a carry.
Give him an option. Give him a nine rock. Give him a this. Give him a that. So we, like, he's too good to not get on the field. But... When I saw that story, I also thought, like, well, that's a window into all the people that were like, how do you not have bets on the field? It's like, well, I think this is a window into why. So we'll see what happens. Again, I got the sense, I am leaning heavy on Damon with this, but I got the sense from Damon that I would say things look bleak, that I would think the chances of him wearing a Husker uniform again are low.
I think... You know, I'm not going to rule it out, but, you know, to me, my guess, like I said, when you don't know, you don't know, and I do not know what the deal is. I do not. So, but if I had to make a guess that if he were to come back, it would be like, he'd have to have a come to Jesus, change of heart, where like he's decided he wants to do everything different and he wants to think about football differently. And he's going to try to find the love. Like, I think that could happen, but it's a very small percentage.
And I think like, yeah, there would have to be, and it would also be not like you'd have to get up, Xavier would have to get in front of his teammates and apologize or anything like that, but there'd be a little bit of like, dude, we're in the middle of the grind and you just quit.
Yeah, I mean, you got to earn it back with your team and your coaches at that point.
You know, like,
and the only way would be to be like, work hard and be consistent.
Right.
Like, he'd have to do that for an extended amount of time.
So we'll see.
And they'd welcome him. He's talented enough, they'll welcome him.
Oh, give him. I'm not saying that they're shutting it and locking it on him. I think you leave that door open because of his talent, because you obviously also want to see a kid, you know, like if you feel like you want what's best for the player and the kid,
for
you
sure.
know? I mean, it's also unfortunate. It's another Omaha, you know, it's an Omaha recruit. You need to start having some in-state guys kind of hit. And so, I mean, that's one of the bigger stories that's been in spring ball has been that one. So we'll see what ends up, what's happens with that. So things to watch for now. Are you good with Xavier?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about the injuries real quick. The format isn't going to be like a real game. It's offense versus defense. They have so many banged up guys that they can't play. I get the sense they can't play a real sort of like red white. It's going to be offense defense, which I don't really care. I don't really care about the format. As long as it's like we're seeing real football to a certain degree, I don't really care.
Yeah. See, this is where I guess I'm wired a little differently, where it's like, why don't we make it competitive? Like,
make it a game. You want to make it as much of a football game as we can make it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't even like the goods versus crappies. Like, they always do that. Like, it's like the best versus like not even the second best. Like the guys that like aren't second even string. Like, and I'm just like, why don't they make it like a drawing? Like if I would even do something like either you let the captains choose the teams or you let like, you know, the fans choose or do something really exciting where like you get like the best matchups and you get like,
right.
I think that is a funner way to do it. And I think that like, I guess injuries and I get it. Like, can you make it funner?
I also think if you are I'm not saying you disregard injuries and all those sorts of things, but I also think like if that's your guiding light behind everything you're doing, that's not probably a great place to be as well. So I'm with you. Like, I hope, I guess even within this, hopefully we get good on good.
Yeah, no, they won't.
But
maybe
if it's offense defense, like why would it not be?
Well, maybe if it's good on good, then that's not bad.
Why wouldn't it be? I'm expecting, maybe I'll be proven wrong. If it's offense defense, to me, it's going to be, I would hope that it's going to be the number one defense versus the number one offense, and in air quotes, number one with all the injuries. But
okay, so now that's if that's truly the case, like I heard that's, you know,
Frost said that that's what Frost said. They're thinking they're going to have to just do offense versus defense, which I think this is actually going to be right up your alley from the standpoint of it's going to be more good on good.
Okay, well, that's more competitive.
But I don't know. I can't sit here and say that for sure.
Now, so I think you do have to balance the, like, don't get people hurt thing.
But also, like, what does that even really look like? Okay, so the offense goes...
Are they tackling?
That's what I don't know yet. I was gonna say, remember last year they didn't tackle, like, the running backs to the ground, and every running back was like, tell you what, Ronald Tompkins, Barry Sanders...
I mean, that's Mark, where it's like if you don't tackle the running backs, you got to tackle the running backs.
I agree. I mean, I'm not saying go tee off on Casey Thompson, but like,
don't touch the quarterbacks.
Anthony Grant needs to get tackled.
Yeah. We got to see
Tommy gun somebody, you know, like that's what we need to find out.
I mean, I get it. Like, we're banged up and they're probably thinking like nobody actually cares about the spring game. Who wins or loses. I get that, right? And that's true. But man, it's hard to not go do something competitive. That's the part it gets hard. So I get it, but if you're asking me what do I want? I want either a competition or some sort of like you know, format where the fans can get to draw. I think that's kind of
fun. Did you ever feel like the how important did you feel like the spring game was when you played, from the standpoint of like the performance really tipping the scales?
One did. So my sophomore going into redshirt sophomore year was really important because I was in a position battle. Like, right. I mean, it legitimately made the, like, it made a big difference on going into the fall camp, and, you know, you're trying to win a spot. And so, like, and I remember I didn't get to be on the first team. I was on the white squad.
In the spring game?
Yeah, and they skewed it so bad, but I played a ton of that game. I played pretty well. Right. And it helped. But, you know, I had a position battle all fall then, but, you know, I remember Joe Daly got beat out by Zach Taylor, and it was clear, and Joe Daly was out after that. So, I mean, though, that one was important because, like, it was, people were trying to win, you know, you're trying to win a spot. So I think the spring games are only important in places where you got to win a position. So, well, I mean, this game right now, it's like,
seems like
there's a few spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think it would. Yeah. So I don't know. The more we talk it through, like, the format matters to a point. I'm with you. Like, it really gets to be hard to know what you're looking at when it is the number one offense versus, like, you know, bite on double move McGee corner.
I mean,
and
that's
and
what
don't
I worry
fill
about.
The run safety and crappy set the edge tight end. You know, like, yeah. You know, then so.
But yeah, maybe we'll have, you know, more good on good, but maybe they won't tackle as much, which would suck. But I think I still would. I'd rather see, like, a scrimmage with. I like to see football. Like, when you're tagging off, it's not football to me.
I totally agree.
Like, then it's just like, well, this isn't even like a scrimmage. It's like practice, and that's the difference. Like, it's a scrimmage when you tackle. It's a practice when you tag off.
And maybe I don't feel like I've heard whether or not they're going to. My guess is they're probably not. If they didn't tackle last year, I bet they're not going to tackle this year, which that'd be a big
bummer. We have so many injuries, though. Like, I'm talking out of one side of my mouth, and the other side, I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be.
I know. It's easy to sit there and be
if
like.
If we lose any of the good guys that we have.
Right.
I mean, it's like,
but at the same time, like, they've had scrimmages this spring. Like, you got to scrimmage at some point. Like, you can't just not tackle ever until the game.
The guys that you can't lose, I would just say don't play.
Right.
And the ones that are in a position battles, like
then you got to go play.
You're playing and you're tackling, but like, yeah, if you're a number one running back, quarterback, I mean, the quarterback's not going to get touched, but the number one receiver, the number one, you know, D lineman that we can't lose, like, maybe you don't play.
Right. Maybe that's more the answer than just alter it in terms of its structure. Okay. Yeah. Next thing. Within of what we're going to see. I mean, you got Mark Whipple now. This is his offense, but I would imagine
let it whip.
But let it whip. He probably isn't going to show much, will he? Like, is this going to be all like go to Baskin Robbins and get a vanilla scoop of vanilla in a dish?
Vanilla is delicious.
I mean, seriously though, because remember when Bob Diaco came and he was implementing his 3-4 and he didn't play the 3-4 in the spring game. Now, sometimes coaches are paranoid by nature. I feel like coaches are just like at all times looking over their shoulder thinking someone's going to like steal their stuff. But do you think Whipple's, we're probably not going to see
Scott
the
Frost,
real Whipple.
They ran that sort of that, you know, pistol gun motion stuff that we'd been doing. We did a ton last year, ran it all spring. Spring game, we didn't show any of it.
Okay.
Didn't run a play of it. And that was purposeful. So I would suspect the same thing's going to happen. Maybe they'll line up under center, under Whip a little bit more. They'll do some very basic things, but they won't show anything that's going to be a new wrinkle to their offense. Would be my guess. They're going to run the things that sort of maybe we've already shown, like maybe that, you know, some of that motion, you know, gun stuff we did last year, triple option, you know, whatever they call it. I would say you're going to see that and not a whole lot of what Whipple's going to be doing.
Because there is, I mean, the element of surprise is one of the things that Nebraska has going for it with everybody. All, you better believe that Northwestern is really, they're going to comb through the spring game and can we pick up anything on what the hell this offense is going to look like?
Yeah, they're going to look at our new players. They're going to look at Thompson. I mean, this is their first scouting report.
To get, even if it's just not much. So that's the other thing is like, you know, there's a part of me that's like, all right, Mark Whipple, here we go. Let's see what this looks like. Now, I think you're going to be able to get like a maybe a general sense at times of maybe how much they want to go under center, how much they don't, whatever, right? Like, but I don't think this is going to be the full Mark Whipple experience.
It's not, and I think intentionally.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. I think so.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Next guy. I mean, obviously the number one reason I want to watch this game is because of Casey Thompson, right?
Yeah.
Would he be number one on your...
1A. By far.
Like here, we're looking at a Boys in the Hood movie poster right now.
He's Cuba Gooding.
We have Ice Cube and Cuba.
Who's Ice Cube though?
And then we got Morris Chestnut.
Ricky. Okay,
but
I'd say
that's Cuba is
that's Casey Thompson. That's Anthony Grant. Trey Palmer. So,
So for the podcast listeners, just Google the Boys in the Hood movie trailer, and you'll see, because it's just three of them leaning against a car. Cuba is Casey Thompson. Ice Cube is Anthony Grant. And Trey Palmer's Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, that's who we're here to see. That's the movie we're going to.
No question. So, but nevertheless, Cuba is Casey Thompson.
Yeah,
like, I am excited about... I'm not going to make grand... I mean, you and I might do a recap and just be Kool-Aid chugging, but like, I want to see what Casey Thompson... I have no real great sense of like his arm, what it looks like, how he moves. Also, you know, you watch clips and you've watched him on Texas a little bit, but like, you want to see it in Memorial Stadium at Nebraska.
What does he look like moving behind a Nebraska offensive line? What does he look like throwing to Nebraska receivers?
Right.
That is going to be... the exciting thing for me is just watching him move, watching him throw, watching him orchestrate. You know, like, does he look comfortable in this new offense? This is new to him, right? So that's going to be the story. We're going to go as far as he's going to take us. So at this point, like, he's kind of like,
because
he feels a big deal.
Now, granted, Chuba's been a little banged up, but you listen to Whipple talk, and it sounds like Whipple's basically like, has said Casey's the guy.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he is the guy. Now, Frost is saying, we're not ready to name a starter. We'll name a starter or whatever. But yes, I do think that I think everybody should be excited to go just get that general sense, that general feel you get from a guy, his arm, his feel, his poise, how he moves, all those kinds of things.
Well, and I think Casey Thompson really has... he's kept Nebraska more relevant, and I guess even to the fans, and in my own mind, like, more... my expectations of our team are higher because he came.
He gives you some hope. There's no question.
I would be really uncertain about what we would be without him. Not that Smothers... and
hands off my hiney
or the Purdy aren't going to be good players. I just feel like the depth now with him and Purdy that we have that position gives me so much more confidence, knowing that like there's a good chance you're going to have more than one quarterback's going to play next year. And so now we have the option between four guys instead of two. And so to me, it's like, you're going to have somebody better than you would have without him, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
I feel lucky we have him, and I'm excited to see him.
So I'm excited to see Casey Thompson. And then they're also, I mean, I'm always, quarterbacks are the easiest to digest and watch and all that. So, like, I'll be excited to see Smothers, hands off my hiney. I think Richard Torres is going to be out there doing his thing for that chicken wing. But no Chuba. I wanted to see Chuba. It's unfortunate that I don't think he's playing, right? I don't think Chuba's going to play.
I don't think so.
So there. So Casey Thompson on the list, as you must have read my mind as we work our way through the Boys in the Hood movie poster. Yep. The next thing I wrote down was the new running backs that I was excited to see, and in particular, Anthony Grant, the junior college dude.
It sounds like he is the guy that is going to be the guy. And, they're not saying that. And right. With running backs, we haven't found a guy in years. But I see him... I saw just his JUCO tape. I really haven't got to see him move in a scrimmage. I haven't got to go to practice this year, so right. I haven't seen
him. I haven't even Googled tape.
Okay.
Like, a part of me wanted to go into this game, and, like, I have no feel for him at all. And just go into it, blind date. He sits down at the table, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Anthony Grant. But I can't wait to see, because I'm with you. You read between the tea leaves of what people have said. It sounds like he has kind of been the most impressive running back. Now, granted, Gabe Irvin's banged up. I think Jacquez Yant came in at weight, which is good, and we'll see what maybe he looks like. Marquise Stepp, Ramir Johnson still is going to be a factor in all this thing. But I think people feel like Grant's going to be the dude. I want to see if he looks like a player.
Well, I think to me, it's like if he's got it, he's got the ability to be the guy. Then Yant and Ramir and Gabe, they look better in the sense of like, then they are complementary running backs,
right?
And their roles are way smaller, and maybe they could do those roles better.
Well, and in my mind, tell me if I'm wrong. Like if Grant is what we all hope he is. He can be your every down dude, you know, your bell cow. And then when you have Jacquez Yant and Ramir Johnson, not to totally stereotype it, but you got a big back and a smaller back.
Exactly.
You got your short yardage guy, and then you got your maybe third down pass catching pass blocker. Like, Ramir was good at those things.
Ramir caught the ball pretty well last year, and that's the part where I go, okay, I see that role. I mean, just between the tackles, though, he was limited. And, you know, he's just not a big guy, but he's fast. He got better as the year went on, but he's still like, I never saw he's your guy. Like, I never saw bell cow out of him. Like, you can't just hand the ball to him all day and win. And that's where, like, I think if this guy can be that guy, Yant and Ramir are complimentary guys. I don't see either of them being Annette. Like, I just don't think Yant can take 30 carries.
And I think we've seen that Ramir is not that. Like, Ramir had the chance to be that, and it just didn't.
He got hurt pretty
quick.
Yeah.
But Ramir, as we saw in the Michigan game and all that stuff, like, he's a pretty good pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And he may be a little dude, but, like, he'll go pick up a blitz. Like, he's not bad at that stuff.
He can do the third down stuff. He showed against a good team against Michigan who made it, you know, the whole way. Like, he could make big plays against them. So that's good enough. You showed you can do it in the highest level.
Right.
But he's never shown he can be the bell cow.
Right. Then the next guy... working to Trey Palmer. I mean, this is a dude, you got to think, this is a former five-star.
Yeah.
LSU transfer, so I bet there's already, like, I bet Mickey had a conversation with him, like, you need to make sure, like, he knows Mickey knows him, you need to go, almost like, I'm not saying Trey was necessarily the leader in that wide receiver room, but I think he probably has the best relationship with Mickey, which lends itself to being on the same page with your position coach, which is good. But, you know, did you hear the anecdote from Frost that they were working on 2-minute offense?
Yeah, I did.
And Trey Palmer said, just throw me a deep ball and I'll end this thing.
Yeah.
And two plays later, they threw a deep ball and he ended the thing.
I like playing with people that are like that.
Yes.
And I trust people that have instincts to just want to, like, put it on me,
give me the ball.
Like,
all
that's a mindset versus somebody who's scared. I always want the person that's maybe even overconfident. I like that.
And hopefully, because, you know, you watch, especially you watch the Rose Bowl, you watch Ohio State in Lincoln. Like, the guys like Smith and Jigba and Olave, like, Nebraska needs some of those guys, dude.
This is a guy that can run. I mean... It's where it's too bad Betts isn't out there, because then, you know, we have a field full of dudes that can run. But this guy can run.
He's a slot guy, right? I think Palmer's a slot guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe they'll try to, like, you know, kind of like Torre was. They'll probably move whoever's our best receiver, they'll probably move him around the field. But it sounds like he's got a lot of personality, which I think Frost really liked, that he's a guy that comes in and he's talking, he's making it. You know, he's in phase one. I think he's one of those infectious guys, which a team needs those guys, you know.
Well, even, and I know it's practice, but even I love the little anecdote of like 2-minute drill. He wants the ball and wants to go in the game. Like him coming from LSU, he doesn't have to bear the cross of all of the past shortcomings in big moments. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't give a crap about that. He doesn't care that they weren't able to do a 2-minute drill at Oklahoma, the worst 2-minute drill of all time, where they like went backwards at some point. But you know, so, and then the other thing with Trey Palmer is he's a returner as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see, because you can see, if, I mean, you don't got to, like, you watch Olave move, you watch those guys, like, you go, okay, that's...
Okay, so the, but here's, so without Palmer, I mean, with Palmer, but without Betts, you basically, now you have Palmer, you got Manning.
You got Oliver Martin, Wyatt Lever. Is DeColdest here yet?
DeColdest, I don't think is here.
I don't think I've heard anything about DeColdest.
Let's see here, we've got...
Brody Belt has actually made there, like there's been some sneaky Brody Belt noise coming out of
we got some Brody Belt got,
there's some
coming.
Brody Belt buzz. There was a little, because I think
I haven't heard much about the kid from New Mexico, the Isaiah Garcia,
George Costanza.
Oh, Alante Brown.
There's been some good things. You've heard about Alante Brown, that he's had a good spring.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think who's going to be the number two guy is going to be really important. Because I think, you know, if people can get healthy next year, keep your fingers crossed, Vokalek's going to be Vokalek. He's going to... come out of
Vokalek. I come out of big cave. I am rested and ready to play.
Okay, and with the whole thing going, do we feel like Vokalek is Russian or Ukrainian?
I think he's
Ukrainian.
Let's go with Ukrainian.
Yeah,
he has totally morphed into that. I don't know how that has happened necessarily.
He is Eastern European.
Yes,
we'll
there we go. There we go. There's. I mean, you think about
who's going to be number two, because that's going to be the big thing, is like we need a number two so you can have the 1-2 in the tight end, and then it's sort of like, okay. I mean,
because,
you'd love
to
have three.
Think about it. I mean, between Austin Allen and Ture, that's a lot of pass. That's a lot of receptions and production going out the door.
We threw to Ture a lot.
Yes.
We threw to him all. Like, if you look, we moved him around the field, and we threw to him like every
chance. And the most automatic play in the final 4 or 5 games of the season was the little pop pass to Austin Allen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, so obviously Trey Palmer's the guy to watch, but there's other guy. You want to see Manning, you want to see Brown, you want to see, you know, Oliver Martin came back from Chimney Rock after his excursion out there.
He was on the milk carton.
You went on the milk carton, he's now back. There was some Brody Belt buzz. Can that get backed up in the spring game?
Yeah, I think the big thing with those receivers is who's going to separate.
Right.
Because I feel like, man, we just had a bunch of dudes with Ture last year, right? Like,
right.
You know, Manning had his moments, but it was also like, I didn't think he was out there all the time either. But man, it's like, if you could get Palmer, Manning, and like one other, like if it's Betts or if it's, I mean, if it's Brody Belt or Alante Brown, somebody to be that third guy. I mean, gosh, man, it's like the confidence in that offense goes way up.
Way high.
But if we got one guy, let's say if it's Palmer, which I don't even know if he's the guy, but let's say if it is just one, it's like, think back to when we just had Wandale. It was like, you can just stifle on a team that's got just one guy.
Totally. So to be, I mean, obviously Trey Palmer is the guy I wrote down, but there are other dudes that I want to see. But Trey Palmer, I just want to see how he, you know, just how he moves, how fast he is, what his style is like, how big of a guy. Because he's not, is he that big of a dude? I don't think he's listed as
I think he's a skinny guy. I think he's not like, let's see.
He looks like he's kind of, he's
6'1",
190.
Yeah, so I mean, he's built for speed. He's not a big guy at all.
I can't wait. I'm all in on Trey Palmer. I'm all in on it. Okay, next guys I wrote down were, and I wonder what this will look like with seeing the punters and the kickers, because we have all new specialists.
Yeah.
I want to see what that looks like, because I heard, and I'll ask you this, because I heard a great question on the radio. I can't remember who asked this question, but I'll ask you this. Which unit, obviously it all's got to get better, but if you had to pick one specific unit within the special teams that is most important to improve for next year, what is it? Field goal, you know, kickoff return, punt return, or just making your field goal kickers?
I think if you would have looked at the last couple years, the field goal kicking wins us and loses us most of the game. So I think field goal kicking probably goes one. And we've had a really rare, horrible punt moments too. Like, like some of the worst punt moments in college football history have happened all in like the same, like 2 year span, like three or four, like of those 3 yard punts that would go off the side of your foot. And then the
shank. I don't know why I'm laughing, but it's not funny. But yeah, it's been like,
it's been unbelievable.
Like you go to Blockbuster Video and you find the sports bloopers, like top sports bloopers. Nebraska's punters showed up on a lot of sports bloopers in Blockbuster Video, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's really bad. I went down to the stadium and walked around and talked to my brother. I saw Coach Bush, talked to Coach Bush for a while.
Yeah.
And
he
says, yeah, punters, kickers, very improved. So
okay, well that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
So I think he's very he's feeling.
So you'd
a
go
lot
field
better.
Goal kicking and punt team.
Field goal kicking and punt team. Punter,
that's
like
what, yeah,
consistency.
Punt, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, those are the
I
two.
I think the obvious thing, because it's literally resulting in points, it's you want to put just field goal kicker, like that is number one if we're ranking things of like what we want to improve. But you know me, because every Husker Classic recap, I want to give the unsung hero to whoever the punter is.
I love
it makes a difference, man. Like, but what's hard is then what we would be putting third is like, I'm not so sure my favorite thing to watch in football isn't a good punt returner. I love watching great punt returners.
I mean,
Nebraska's gotten, there's zero production. There's the Grand Canyon, and then there's Nebraska's production at punt returner over the last couple of years.
I wouldn't put our kick return game
far
behind, though. That's the part.
Every time they bring it out, it's like, this ain't getting past the 17.
But the Cam Taylor Britt start the season out in Illinois muff was, that was why punt return team goes over kick return team, is because of that one play. It takes it over the top as the third.
So I would go, but problem is they've gotten house called a couple kickoff returns too, which is
very
unfortunate.
True.
But I would go field goal kicking one, punt team two, punt return three. You want to go kickoff or kickoff return?
I think kickoff's more important, but kickoff return has been bad. So like we have been especially bad at that. I mean, there's no positives.
But I think you can survive if you just touch back every kickoff.
Agreed.
You are
agreed.
So let's go kickoff and then kickoff return.
Yeah, kickoff return can lose you games and cost you like huge blows to your season.
Wisconsin, right? Was it their first play of the game?
Yeah.
They house a kick.
That feels like 2 years ago, but my God, yeah, that was the first.
Jeez, Louisiana.
Yeah. I was at Chris's house and
I can't.
Everybody just got there. I mean, would you say that the moon in the house goes from 100 to just like dreadful?
Because Iowa's house called a kickoff.
Yeah.
They've blocked up. I mean, Iowa's done like they've done everything imaginable. If there's a bingo on what to do to Nebraska special teams, they have done it all.
Okay.
So it'll be fun to see what those guys kind of look like.
Yeah.
And then the last two are kind of together. But like, I think one of the big storylines that has also developed out of spring along the same lines of the injuries is the defensive line, I think, has become almost the biggest question mark on the team, where I think it was Ty Robinson was talking to the media and said they've only really had 7 guys available during the spring. They're likely probably going to bring in a transfer portal guy or two on the D-line. I think they got a TCU. The TCU pass rusher is on an official visit this weekend, along with Little Raiola, the quarterback, as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully those guys likey what they see. But certainly the defense, I wrote down defensive line, just because I don't know, really know even know what I'm looking at, but I think it's Bears just like throwing out that like that group feels like it's risen to a big question mark with the team right now.
I think I'm more nervous about our interior defensive linemen than I am maybe even offensive linemen.
Right.
Like I'm talking like you got Ty, who's solid, Casey Rogers, who would be the next guy, but he's hurt a lot.
Then you got the polar bear.
Polar bear Nash is young, Hutchmonger. And you know, we don't know what he is. He can lift a lot of weights, but can he play football? We don't know. And then you, after that, it's like there are a bunch of young guys that have that are very raw, very unproven. So, like, man, like, I think that's part of the reason they're switching to this 4-3 is just because then the interior guys, it's, you know, instead of having three, you know, two deep at three positions, you only have to have two deep at two.
Right.
And then you have these outside guys that are kind of, you know, a little bit easier to find.
Because to combine the other thing along with that is there's been a lot of positive talk about that the offensive line has had a good spring. And you wonder, okay, the pessimistic, like cynical part of your brain goes, okay, is the offensive line having a good spring because the defensive line has become a big question mark? I don't know. But there's been a lot of talk that it'll be interesting to see on Saturday if there's a like discernible difference in the way they're firing off the ball and way it, because Scott Frost has kind of said that they're really popping off the ball.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't start the game with back to back. What was it at Oklahoma? They started with back to back false starts.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, we found a way last year. Oh, it's like every time I think back to like, oh yeah, we did those things, didn't we? Oh man.
But so O-line, I mean, you're replacing Doyle. Be interested to see who's
Doyle's. Who's
O'Doyle in at center. You don't have Teddy Prochaska still.
Don't have Cochran, don't have Prochaska, and they are arguably our two most talented guys. But in a way, like maybe it's good though that like the offensive line without those two guys has to kind of like
get
a lot of reps, figure it out, because that will help with depth when those guys come back. I mean, Teddy's the guy they're the most excited about. Teddy's the guy that's, you know, he's huge, he's 6'9". He's got the pro potential. It sucks he got injured right when he was kind of getting his feet wet. But he should be back. And Corcoran, same way, I think he's got potential if he could ever kind of get fully healthy, I think. But, you know, we got to get those interior guys. I think they got to develop here, and this is the time.
So I wrote down, we already went through it, but I wrote down the just to recap the new players we're excited to see, or just players we're excited to watch. We got Casey Thompson, Anthony Grant, Trey Palmer. Would that be your top three?
Yes.
For the Arizona State corner, Tommy Hill?
Yes, because he has been by far the most talked about defensive back. And that's the defensive back. There's question marks. It's all kind of quote-unquote open. I think Quentin Newsom's got a spot. But I think the rest of it, it's probably Quentin Newsom and Miles Farmer most likely, but those other two spots, I don't know, and I think this Tommy Hill has actual playmaking ability.
Right.
Like he's a guy that goes out and does things. So that's what I'm excited about, is we got one of those guys.
Anybody else you'd add? It can be returning guys, too. So, I mean, think last year we're so excited to get our first look at Omar Manning, but, I mean, I feel like you kind of know what you got with him. I'm not sure who else I would really throw. I'm always excited to see every quarterback and every running back.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's a lame, like, I am legitimately excited to see what Smothers looks like, what Heinrich Harburg looks like, what Richard Torres looks like, and then what Ramir Johnson and, I mean, Marquis Stepp was a guy that people thought was going to be the starter.
Yeah, it's one of those running backs will be leaving after the spring.
You would assume so.
I think the writing will be on the wall for somebody, would be my guess.
But that seems like is there any other?
I think it seems like they're all
offensive guys.
Yeah, the defensive backs, though, I think like between Marcus Buford, Noah Pola Gates, this Singleton, right? So he's the other guy that is, you know, there's that one safety spot that is wide open. and then the one farmer's kind of has the advantage on. But between like three or four of these DBs, like I want to see who's got it and who doesn't. So I'm actually going to be watching the DBs. The linebackers got their lockdown. Even Nelson and
Caleb Tanner,
they'll get the spots, but the backups would be fun to see with them. I think Gunnarsson and Jamari Butler, I think, are like they're more potential upside guys. So it'll be fun to see if they have developed at all. Any of the backup D linemen, have they developed at all? I mean, we know what we got. The front seven starters, we know what we got. Those guys are like, they've been around for years. We know what we got.
Right.
The back end and the backups on defense, that's what you should be watching for. Hopefully they play a lot. Hopefully they're tackling, and they're tackling those running backs and receivers.
I'm going to be really bummed out. I'm going to be really, really bummed out if they're not tackling the running backs.
That'd be a shame.
Because it becomes impossible to get a sense of what you're looking at.
Yeah, you got it.
Both ways. Not only, I mean, with tackling, with the running backs, like it just becomes impossible.
Yeah, because like if you don't, it's two parts too. Like, you can, like, you just don't know if, like, you'd have actually made the play. Like, can you have actually broken that tackle? Or would you have actually made the tackle as a defender?
Exactly, both ways.
You go up to him and, like, you don't break down right, or he shimmies and you, oh, yeah, I touched him. But, like, well, what if you were kind of out of body position and it was an arm tackle?
Or you're going to come in and do the whole, you know, throw your shoulder at a guy and he bounces off. Like,
you got to tackle, man. You got to tackle. I hope they tackle. I hope they just play who's safe to play and tackle.
Because that's the... I don't know. Because I'm with you. Like, I would almost rather say, like, sit all the guys that you're worried about getting hurt and then play football with everybody else.
Yeah, you can't. A guy that you can't lose, don't play him then. But, like, I just think it's dumb to bring 40,000 people in to touch off. It's dumb. Right.
Because it was a bummer last year when it was. It made it really hard to even just know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess we'll leave it at that because we got to leave some meat on the bone for when we're recapping the actual spring game.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a good table set appetizer for people as they sit down to watch this thing.
Yeah, you're going to watch. You're watching the big three in offense, the guys that touch the ball, right? That's huge. And then from there, it's going to be mostly like, okay, how do they organize it? And then what are we doing on the back end of the defense? What are we doing with our backups? That's really what you're going to be seeing.
Right. 100%. Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up there, and we'll be back for a little spring game recap as well. As we just, it's going to be sponsored by Kool-Aid. They don't know they're sponsoring it. That'd be pretty great if every year that we got like Kool-Aid legitimately sponsored.
Kool-Aid was invented in Nebraska.
See?
That's something I didn't know till recently.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
It makes sense. We'll be chugging. I can't wait to figure out who, when we are sitting to recap it, which boy in the hood? Which guy on the movie posters Kool-Aid are we chugging the most?
I'm one of them is a guarantee.
Oh, I'm gonna go into it wanting to chug some kind of Kool-Aid.
But that's part of the Nebraska tradition is you do chug the Kool-Aid, and this is the kickoff to Kool-Aid.
That's kind of my fun, like the fun part. Of, like I get it, spring games, it's a practice. Blah blah blah. You can be cynical and hate on it if you want, but it's kind of fun to go into something and just get ready to just glass half full, optimistic, chug the Kool-Aid.
I think it's one of our superpowers as like Nebraska fans.
Right,
it's like we don't like we've proven for 20 years like. We don't get discouraged. We keep going.
Yes. That's
right. It's kind of amazing.
It is kind of amazing. So I can't wait. So I look forward to chugging Kool-Aid with you after the spring. Okay?
I'll see you in a couple days.
All right. Kool-Aid. A Huda Media Production.